And with that, let's go to our feature. And it is the all-female honky-tonk outfit, Merlettes. The Merlettes are not an old band by any stretch. First formed and first playing out, at least in 2015, they began by specializing in classics of the honky-tonk era. But since there are some serious songwriters aboard, Christina Jacobson and others, they began adding originals to the mix. And for this special session, they decided to go all original with their set list for us. So let's go right to it. Recorded by Ramon Garcia in Studio A last Friday. The Merlettes are Christina Jacobson on vocals and guitar, Laura Leach Devlin on bass, Sharon Eldridge on drums, Dare Obenshain on fiddle and vocals, Meredith Wilder on vocals. Christina Jacobson is sort of your band host with introductions, but she gets a little help along the way, and we'll take a few minutes later on in the set to meet the entire group. But first, let's jump into Studio A 8 days ago for a session with the Merlettes.
All right. Intro? Okay. So this next song was inspired by the odd phenomenon of having a stranger walk up to me in a public space and say something along the lines of, you know, you'd sure look a whole lot prettier if you'd smile right now. So this is my response to that request. It's called I Don't Want to Smile. I was standing in line at Carolina Barbecue Joint, lost in thought, some heavy things on my mind, when an old man standing behind me says, smile, sweetheart, it can't be that bad. But how can he be so sure he would? Wear my face, and maybe I don't want to smile, don't want to make nice and sit pretty. And if I feel no sense of obligation to offer you an explanation, or right now, I don't want to smile. And what is my worth as a woman? Is it to look pretty first and stand by my man, as Tammy said in her famous anthem? But what if I had a bad hair day? What if I gained a few pounds? Does the weight of my societal value go accordingly down? And what if I don't want to smile? What if I don't want to make nice and sit pretty? And if I feel no sense of obligation to offer you an explanation? Does that make me difficult? Am I being hysterical? Does it make me frigid or stuck up or a female dog of some colorful variation? Talk to us, Dare. Maybe I'll take this catch-22 that poses as a conversation and do everything I can just so. I don't have to smile, I don't have to make nice and sit pretty, and so I feel no sense of obligation to offer you an explanation. So right now, I don't have. I don't have. cheese. So to keep myself sane in my daily life, I often practice mindfulness meditation, which has been really powerful for me. But when I lose track of that or things get too busy and I stop doing it in the moments when I need to be doing it most, sometimes I feel like I'm running on empty and I don't have a whole lot more to give. So this song was written from that space. And in the chorus, there's a line that says, I'm a one-armed paper hanger. And a paper hanger is a reference to someone that used to professionally hang wallpaper in people's homes. And so the idea is when you're running around like a one-armed paper hanger, that you're kind of really frenzied and have kind of lost your center. And then we found out that our bass player, Laura Leach Devlin, her father was actually a professional paper hanger and hung wallpaper here. He had two arms so that he could hang wallpaper. So this song is called Running on Empty.
One, two. Everyone's got a road to hoe. Each of them wants something hard to say no. Nothing left to give at the end of my road. Running on empty. Give all you got, but you're never enough. Burn a midnight oil, sunrise till sun up. Behind the eight ball, before the game has begun. Running on empty. Running on empty, only fumes to spare. If you want those two, please beware. I'm a one-armed paper hanger, engine light. Flashing flagrant neglect, running on the machine. Gonna eat lots of veggies, gonna keep it clean. Kombucha and beet juice recharge my routine. Running on empty. Running on empty, only fumes to spare. Want those two, please beware. I'm a one-armed paper hanger. Hills. I'm gonna bake me a cardamom coffee cake. Gonna curl up on that couch. Refuse to give even one more ounce. No more running on empty. Only fumes to spare. Can't take them back. So please don't ask. I'm a one-armed paper hanger. Engine light flashing. Flagrant neglect, no more running on empty. Running on empty.
So we're going to go down now to Bayou Country in Louisiana. This is a song that I co-wrote with Sonia Heller, sort of a Cajun country song. And we're going to take you to a parish called Parish Terrebonne or Parish Good Earth and a little dance hall called Maison Danse. The song is called Maison Danse. Up her hair, turns on the dance floor lights. We all have our stories. Leave your troubles at the door, because tonight nothing else matters, long as my hand is in yours. Ce heartless and gray, cause the dance floor lights are always on inside Maison Danse. We all have our stories. Leave your troubles at the door, because tonight nothing else matters, long as my hand is in yours. Ce soir,
we're taking just a moment out from the high spirits of the Merlettes to meet the band. Before we give, we'll hear about the instruments they play, but let me just introduce going from side to side. Of course, you can see us right now. Der Obenschein, Sharon Eldridge, Laura Leach Devlin, Meredith Wilder, and Christina Jacobson, who are this edition of the Merlettes. I was all set to come in here and do a real Me Too kind of show, because you're an all-female band, talking about how do you negotiate some of the lyrics and postures and attitudes of country music from the golden era. And your answer is basically, we're not playing that tonight.
Well, yes and no. You mean in terms of the repertoire that we're going to be recording?
Exactly.
Yeah. We're playing all original stuff, but one of the songs actually that we're recording is sort of directly inspired by the Me Too movement. It's a song called "I Don't Want to Smile," and it was inspired by this odd phenomenon of, especially in gig type spaces before a show or that sort of thing, having an older man come up to me and tell me something along the lines of, you know, you'd sure look a whole lot prettier if you'd smile. And so that was the impetus for the song and sort of like a way to speak out. And it's actually become a kind of powerful tool for dialogue when we play it in shows. And then a lot of times older men will come up to me and to us afterwards and sort of say, hey, you don't like it when someone says that or that kind of thing. And so it's a pretty productive dialogue. So, you know, I think this idea of feminist country seems to undergird pretty much
everything we do, whether it's a cover or an original, that's become sort of a through line, I think, for us when we're on stage. You know, loving feminist country.
Could you define that or take us back to when you can peg the beginning? I mean, is it before Loretta Lynn or after Loretta?
For me, I would say maybe it started with Kitty Wells in the early 50s and with a song like It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, these sort of talking back to the world songs, you know, these retort songs, response songs.
And R&B had some of those too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then for me, Loretta is sort of the next shining light in that tradition with The Pill and You Ain't Woman Enough to Be My Man, and so many other songs that mm-hmm. are like so.
To Take My Man.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, the new version.
They're so feisty and in your face, but in such clever ways and with such incredible wordplay that they also seem really accessible and loving. Is sort of the way.
Although sometimes I might just add that we do have to have a little discussion in the group before we play The Pill. Sometimes, even to this day, like, is this an appropriate song? Are we going to offend people?
I think we chose, for example, not to play it at Solid Grounds in religious spaces. We've chosen largely to not play it. When I'm touring in Italy, I don't play that. You know, in Catholic Italy, that seems like just not. Not the right song.
Okay, you should rebook yourself for Ireland because they're down with it now, officially.
All right.
Yeah.
Get on that plane with Kevin Burke, go back there and have at it.
Awesome.
Okay, so the you're all schooled in various forms of acoustic music, Americana. Can you go around and just say what is the gift of being able to play in this style? Because even though these are original songs, Merlette's came about really as sort of an embodiment of an older country tradition.
Absolutely.
So given what I'm assuming is a pretty serious range, a pretty serious range of musics that you do play, what is playing in the style we're hearing tonight do for you?
Well, as a fiddler, I grew up listening to the old bluegrass and country, and then I became politically progressive, this is Dare, and also then came out as a lesbian and stop playing the music altogether because of the people that I'd be involved with. And it was only about 10 years ago joining a band named Sue, which is Albuquerque's premier queer country band. And then the Merlettes, it's just really been, I've been able to come back to my music. Mm. It's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, and I just like to play all types of music. And this is a really great experience for me because I've never been in a band like this. So it's just great to, you know.
This is Sharon Eldridge. So as a drummer, where else have you do you play stylistically?
Well, just jazz and R&B, a little bit of everything. So it's just nice to be able to, you know, experience being in a band like this, which is real different for me.
I remember conversations early on in our first gigs about hats. And you cracking up about wearing, you know, like wearing a Western hat and sort of those like conversations.
Sharon's from the East Coast, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They don't do hats.
No.
not cowboy hats.
Right.
Yeah, my husband Dave will not wear a cowboy hat, and he's in like three or four Western type bands. And he and I are in a bluegrass band, Higher Ground Bluegrass. And so I guess being in this band gives me an opportunity to play the music that my mother listened to and that my mother loves. And I actually grew up listening to. Mm-hmm. And so I'm familiar with all the old songs, and I've probably danced to them, you know, as a young person. I'm still young.
Yeah.
And Meredith.
Still dancing.
Well, I took Christina's country music class at UNM, and that was my first introduction to the older country style, and I was fascinated with it. The harmonies are always really great. So as a singer, to jump in and add the third part harmony is mm-hmm. such a treat. And Alex McMahon from Wildwood gave me a really good starting ground for all this kind of music. And so we sort of touched on a country style every once in a while, but to dive into it 100%, mm-hmm. this is Honky Tonk, has been really fun, and it's just a great place to let loose and, yeah, feel a little country.
Now, I know, Meredith, way, way back when you were sort of first becoming a singer, you were singing in the church choir. So church harmonies and church music sort of informs you. And even though this is a very secular group of songs, doesn't it inform also the way harmonies are made and so much of the form?
I think so. It comes really naturally.
Yeah, I think absolutely, and sort of these roots of Appalachian music, both sacred and secular. I think sonically the distance between Saturday night and Sunday morning is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. What about the storytelling aspect? Because this, I think, goes into, having seen one iteration of the Merlettes on stage, it's something that is always sort of alluded to. It's not like you're acting out the songs, but sometimes the way lead vocal will trade. One thing I've noticed is that you seem to be very conscious of the narratives that you're spinning, but that's in the older stuff. I know, Christina, you're as writer and co-writer, you're not afraid of doing some serious narrative stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, I see country music in general, particularly older country, as sort of a working class form of verbal art that basically they are narrative. They're narrative songs, right? So how do you tell your story? In the originals that y'all will hear tonight, that's sort of taken on new form because, like, in one of them, I'm doing a lot more recitation, like speaking while the music continues. And that's a lot of fun. So something we've been playing with in one song that you'll hear is I'm speaking, and then underneath me, Darren Meredith have worked up this really, really cool harmony that sort of supports it. So there's both the speaking and the singing going, like recitation, and then this sort of angelic background, mm-hmm. very sugary, sweet kind of background vocal to completely juxtapose.
Uh-huh.
And that's very much for that. That's the I Don't Want to Smile song, a way to kind of point out some of the irony and bittersweetness and sardonic humor that's in that song itself.
Is it a tricky thing to do? Because I know that the recitation in even in doo-wop, but especially in country, because so much of it, because it's such an oral culture down south. I noticed when I was in the South traveling, you turn on the radio and you could hear country radio in the West, but you go to the South and they will play a preponderance of those narrative songs.
Yeah.
And you listen and you tune the dial to the R&B station, and again it's like I go to the movies, maybe to the park. but it's like really funny. These days to hear it. Yeah. Is there a way for it not to be humorous? I mean, it sounds like you're using
I think of George Jones as maybe being sort of like the king of country music recitation. And when he does it, so like in a really classic song like He Stopped Loving Her Today. In that, where it comes in, I think it comes in the third verse. And there it's like the most serious, it's like the apex of the story and of the song and like the most heartbreaking moment because you realize that he stopped loving her because, we're at his funeral, right? And sort of
that's the saddest song ever,
it's,
I think.
Yeah, it might be the saddest song like in country music history, period.
And so this song is called Lucinda. And I never really had a love affair with an inanimate object until I met my truck, Lucinda.
Hmm. Just a simple person and I don't much like change, whether it's my food, my music, or my ride. So when things come out of left field, they shake me to my core. So let me tell you about the battle scars my truck Lucinda wore. A big old dent in her right fender when I ran into a planter in Hot Springs, North Carolina. Missing gasket springs and levers and a camper so I could sleep in her anywhere. She was my girl. My drive with the lights off down a dirt road. Kind of girl, my road warrior. My first truck. My KTNN listening station music haven. My Wild West. My deep res off-road ranching companion. And I miss her, Lucinda, Lucinda. And I miss her, Lucinda, Lucinda. And I miss her, Lucinda, Lucinda. My kind of girl.
Sunday was heading on my way to the Sunport, Sardinia bound. When a stranger's foot slipped on the pedal, the crunch of glass to metal, and me and Lucinda were T-boned to a telephone pole. In an instant she was total to ride, set out to Clover, and just like that a big old chunk of my life was over. And I miss her, Lucinda, Lucinda. And I miss her, Lucinda, Lucinda. And I miss her, Lucinda, Lucinda. My kind of girl. Let's hear some fun. Junkyard, and they carried her in on a forklift, dropped her at my feet. Her frame is bent, her insides spilling out for all to see. And Lucinda, there's medical tape covering up your seams. And there's no time to say goodbye, and he's waiting for me to hurry up and empty you out, so they can dismember you and sell you piece by piece down to Mexico. And I miss you, Lucinda.
This is the oldest of the original songs that we're doing. This is a song I wrote a while back as a tribute to the country music barn dances of yesteryear, including the Louisiana Hayride, the Chicago Barn Dance, Grand Ole Opry. And this song is featuring our fantastic fiddle player, Dare Obenshain, who is from Southwest Virginia via Albuquerque, but she also played fiddle at Colonial Williamsburg for a spell.
I did. When I was in Nicaragua, I got into the Village Voice compared with Minnie Pearl. I've got to look that up. Because I used to have a hard copy, but it's long gone.
That's a
probably disintegrated.
Yeah. So this song is called Louisiana Hayride.
Louisiana Hayride.
The Merlettes are Christina Jacobson, Meredith Wilder, Laura Leach Devlin, Sharon Eldridge, and Dara Owenshine. I'll give you dates: February 8th, Saturday; February 8th, Friday; February 9th, Saturday. Shows from them at Solid Grounds and at Albuquerque Center for Spiritual Living. I'll give you that information once again next week. We'll leave you with a little more Merlettes.
If you stood at the chance from Bristol, Tennessee to South Kakalaki, Louisiana, hayride, Elvis's first drive, Grand Ole Opry with Before Bailey, Chicago Barn Band. If you stood at the chance.